Hey, it's Lex and Stacy. It is Threesome Podcast number 46, believe it or not.
I know. That's amazing.
As we churn them out like crazy, because we are just overflowing with content. We have so much content, we can't possibly be content with just doing one a week.
We have so much, it hurts.
Yeah. And if you're hurting, Stacy, wow.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm like a content virgin.
Yeah. Sure you are.
Yeah.
All right. So lots of great things to talk about in the world. All kinds of things going on out there. I know you have some stuff that is just mind-boggling, like your government conspiracy theory. I love these.
You know, I mean, anyone who's listened knows in past episodes, yeah, we've done the conspiracy theory stuff. And, you know, me personally, I don't believe everything I hear, but I love hearing about conspiracy theories, if that makes sense. I like knowing the weird, wacky things that people believe in or think that's going on, like the lizard people, reptilians, one of my very favorite.
The good old reptilians.
Yes. I love them. I don't think they're around, but I love hearing people talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing to me is so fucking stupid. I can't believe people bring it up. You know, I mean, really, it's like lizard people would be out in plain sight protecting the president.
Well, that or, you know, that if you go to YouTube, there's so much lizard people stuff, and they post videos. Like, I think it was, maybe it was Rumsfeld. I don't remember who it was. It was someone from the Bush administration. They allegedly had video that they slowed down, and if they slowed it down enough, you could see, like, his second eyelid closing from the side, you know?
Yeah, well, I saw it with Obama, too.
Yeah, that creepy bald guy that was like the Secret Service guy.
Yeah, and come on, man. Seriously.
Meanwhile, how would you like to be that poor, unfortunate, creepy Secret Service guy who's like, do I look like so bad that people think that I'm like alien?
Yeah, why'd they zero in on me to fucking do this?
Is it because I'm missing ear flaps?
I'm just a guy that's a glorified cop that went through some training. I got my family. What the hell? All his friends making fun of him. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Well, I have this new conspiracy theory. My brother actually told me about this yesterday. My brother is Mr. Finance. He's a CFA, and I was actually kind of surprised that he was talking about this at all. There's two stories, but they are very much related. And I went and kind of looked him up after he had told me about it. The first being that back, I think in March, it was that some of the major banks in the United States, but definitely for sure JP Morgan Chase, sent letters out to its customers saying that, okay, safety deposit boxes. I assume you probably have one, correct, Lex?
I don't.
Really? I'm actually shocked by that.
Yeah, I don't.
But when you think of one...
I don't have anything of value to protect at this juncture.
Well, people put stuff in it, you know, pictures, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Old coins, just stuff like that. But they actually have sent letters out saying that you can no longer store cash in your safety deposit box. They're not allowing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, because I don't have one either. I've never gotten one. So I always assumed that, like, when you fiddled with yours, when you went in and opened yours up, that nobody, are people standing there with you, like bank employees? Do they know what's inside your safety deposit box?
Yeah, there is somebody attending to you and your safety deposit box, because they don't want you putting weapons in it and, you know, or, you know, some sort of explosive device or narcotics or anything like that. So they do keep, it's not a sharp eye, but there is somebody there to report strange activity if it's taking place.
Gotcha. But now do they, and I, again, maybe it's different in each institution. Do some places or any places like expect like a catalog of what's in it? Like, so they have it on file somewhere. So if you say, hey, my stuff's gone, they know what you're talking about.
I would imagine there's something like that. Like I said, I've only seen, you know, people attending to one on like TV and stuff, like in 60 Minutes and stuff like that. I've seen some stuff on them, and there is always somebody standing there or hanging out in there that lets you in there, watches you as you pull the drawer out, get what you need, and put it back. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just cash. It is they're no longer allowing you to store cash in there. Coins, unless they are of the collectible type, you know, if you've got your 1862 double printed Buffalo penny or something, those types of coins can still go in a safety deposit box. And then precious metals. Actual like gold bars, because again, if you wanted to put a necklace, a gold necklace or a, you know, silver necklace, does that count as jewelry? I don't quite know how that all works, but they are not allowing those three things anymore. And I don't know. I just wondered if it was a common occurrence for people to store cash in their safety deposit boxes.
It could be a lot of reasons why. It could be, you know, hiding the bank's liability, you know, people saying that, oh, this was this and now this is in there, you switched it out and things like that. So they're probably trying to keep it more documented oriented than things of value.
So perhaps keeping tabs on where the cash is, you would think.
Yeah, but how much cash could you put in a 6x9 drawer? You know, I mean, compared to the total scheme of thing, you know,
well,
scheme
of things. Well, they're big bills.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I just think it's more hiding, you know, insulating the bank than anything else. I don't know what road you're going down with this.
Well, this kind of brings us to the second story, which is related to this. And these two stories apparently have like all of the conspiracy theorists' panties in this like incredibly tight little wad. Because apparently, as of back in March, the Justice Department is telling banks and their employees to consider calling the cops on customers who withdraw $5,000 or more in cash. Now, that means if you are going to go, you were buying a used vehicle for some reason, and it was $6,000, and you were just going to pay cash, you went to the bank and wanted to pull $6,000 out that you had earned and had in your savings account, there is a good possibility that at some point you're going to get a visit from the police, because they're going to want to know what you did with your money.
Yeah. I think that's probably in play because you're talking an institution these days which can pretty much wire cash in any transaction to somebody's account. It's not like it used to be. So anybody pulling out that kind of cash would probably only be for several reasons. So I could see them doing that. However, I do think you're treading an ACLU line there as far as your freedom of privacy and such, don't you think?
Well, that, I mean, yeah. I mean, think about it. Cash is the last real anonymous thing in our society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't track it. And it just sounds like that this is all, well, I mean, it is actually, I mean, the Justice Department admits that this is totally, excuse me, a terrorist thing. And that's the other thing too. If you pull out more than $5,000 in cash, not only the potential visit from the police, but there is a good chance that's going to get you put on some sort of watch list.
Yeah, I could see that.
And again, if that's your money, I mean, if it has sat there and you haven't had any weird deposits, you know what I mean? You've got your savings account and it's been there for 15 years and you just suddenly want to pull $6,000 out of your account. Should you be able to do that without being flagged, you know? And when you try to fly somewhere now, people know what you're doing and you get shit for it, and whatever happens when you get put on a terrorist watch list. Is that cool?
Well, I mean, I don't know where all this is coming from, but I just looked something up here about safe deposit boxes, and it says you can keep money, guns, all kinds of stuff. The one thing you cannot keep is explosives, intoxicating liquors, narcotics, or anything of a destructive nature.
Is there a date on that article?
Let's see. No. But it's the second thing that came up when I did the search.
Because this article, and there's a bunch of them, this came down again in March of this year. So what, two months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Math girl. So, you know, and it doesn't sound like as of yet all banks are implementing this. It was just, as I said, like Chase and a couple other of the big banks sending letters out saying, don't keep cash in them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say anything here about not being able to keep cash in them. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to. I really
unless
don't.
The government. Well, see, when my brother first told me this, and this is what I thought he was telling me for in his roundabout way, was that they don't want. To me, that sounds like the powers that be know that there is some imminent crash coming. And they, like with the $5,000 or more, they don't want people running to the bank and pulling all their money out, because that's how then really bad things start happening, when banks can't give money to people.
If a crash comes, the money that you have is worthless, so I don't know why it would matter. Yeah, you may be sitting on a shitload of cash, but if the market crashes, it's worthless. Literally. True. So
then it must be that they're just trying to keep a really, really tight look on cash and where it's going and what it's being used for and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably for legal tracking purposes or for drug dealers or what have you. But also, I mean, what's in play here in the last 15 years is 9/11 and terrorist cash transactions. And things of that nature that probably they're trying to keep a grip on, especially with this ISIS shit where they're talking, you know, milky white people into joining this fucking thing. And I'm guessing it's just another way to look for anything strange. If you're not doing anything strange, then it shouldn't be any big deal.
Well, in theory, it shouldn't. But say again, you've never done anything strange and you've not put money in your bank account for 15 years, but you want $6,000 to do whatever with, you know, if you're going on a vacation. I mean, who knows? I think that is walking a sticky line. And, you know, ever since they used 9/11 as the excuse, and yes, we all know it was a terrible thing. I get it. But, you know, the freedoms, the Patriot Act, all that, it just seems like very slowly things are getting whittled away under the guise of safety. And when does it end? It just seems like it's getting worse all the time.
I mean, the world changes constantly, Stacey. It probably doesn't end. But I sincerely don't believe that if I take cash out of my bank account that somebody's going to be coming calling on me. I think that would be all over the news. I think that would be being reported on. I think people would be going to news outlets and saying it's happening to them. I just don't believe it. Because that's the one protection we have in this country that nobody else has, is you can go down to your TV station or your newspaper and say, hey, this is kind of fucked up and weird, don't you think? And an investigative journalist will go, yeah, it's really, it's not cool.
Assistant Attorney General Leslie Caldwell gave a speech in which he urged banks to alert law enforcement authorities about the problem so that police can seize the funds or at least initiate an investigation. Such suspicious activity includes transactions conducted or attempted by, at, or through the bank or an affiliate and aggregating $5,000 or more.
Yeah,
they're also
that's
making
probably
it now
weird.
that you can't pay credit cards with cash. Like if you've got, you know, your bank credit card and your bill, you know, your monthly bill's coming up and you come in with cash, they like don't want you to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I just I think that's just where it starts. It probably would have to be a much more significant amount of money, you know, for somebody to flag and chase somebody down. I just think it starts there.
And, well, I hope so. I mean,
I pull that kind of money out on a monthly basis to pay a certain bill. Nobody's ever said anything to me.
Actual cash?
Yeah.
Well, then good. Does anyone ask you what it's for? I mean, I don't want you to tell us, but you know what I mean? Has the bank asked or any questions?
No.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
But good luck trying to fly out of the country next time.
Not only can I fly out of the country, I'm on the TSA approved list. I don't even have to go through the security line.
You used to be, but do you know if your status has changed?
I just flew this past weekend. It's fine.
Out of the country?
No, I hardly ever go out of the country.
Well,
I've been out of the country three times.
Well, I hope you don't want to go again. I hope you like it here in the United States.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy your little conspiracy theory thing. Have a good time with that.
Not
everybody's out to get you.
I hope not. It would be nice to think that.
I know if I was in law enforcement, I'd be thinking of ways to make my possibilities to catch some scumbag easier. And if somebody is truly on the up and up, it's not a big deal. I don't think law enforcement has ever really wanted to shake up small fish and people, you know, other than, hey, what are you using this for? Oh, I'm buying a car with it. Oh, okay. I think it ends there. I don't think there's any shakedown. It's like, who's it for? Who's the car for? You know, I mean, it's...
You're in a black room tied to a chair with a light on your face.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything like that.
Well, I hope not. It's just something to watch, you though, you know? It's the little things. They just keep whittling away. And, you know, sometimes some of this feels like... I remember as a child of the 80s when we were being told how bad Russia was, you know, the Soviet Union and the terrible things they did to their citizens and everything. And sometimes if you take a little step back, you can kind of see similar things here starting to crop up.
Yeah, but, you know, you're talking about a one person running the whole show type of country compared to one here that's got all kinds of legislative branches that keep an eye on each other. It's a totally different deal. You know,
and they all answer to one reptilian.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, come on, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think that. Yeah. There is someone out there, I guarantee you, who believes that.
No, I I've always been of the thought of follow the money. You know, the Bilderberg Group and the Koch brothers and all these, you know, confabs and symposiums that super rich people get together and control shit with. I believe that exists. But it's out there front and center. There's documentaries on it. There's news pieces about it. It's not like it's something we don't know about. And I don't think under our structure, under our type of government, that anybody could get away with such a thing without somebody raising an eyebrow. I don't.
I hope not. I do. You know, and trust me, I doubt that I'm ever going to go withdraw $5,000 or more in cash for anything. But it's, you know, if this is true, the idea that if I had that money and I could withdraw it, that I have to think twice about it, because do I really want to explain what I'm using it for?
Yeah.
If it's just, you know, I'm buying coconuts. A bunch of them.
I mean, even 9/11, Stacey, we knew about it. We had intel on it. There was 2 or 3 years of information and people knowing about, you know, the possibility of that happening, and we turned a blind eye to it. We're like, that's not possible. That could never happen. Well, it happened.
Yes, it did.
You know, so even things like that, people know about. It's just whether they do something about it or not.
Yeah, but did we have in place things like the NSA came about after 9/11 as a result of 9/11. The internet, which I'm sure, honestly, eventually, if it didn't happen as quickly, I'm sure like the whole PRISM program where they're reading all of your emails and everything would probably eventually happen, because people in power can't help themselves.
No, we knew some of these people's names and what they were doing here.
I know that, but I'm saying, like, for us being spied upon, the way that we weren't, at least that we were aware of before 9/11, because of 9/11, there's now the NSA, there's now PRISM, there's the constant being watched of everything that you do if you're online, which most people under the age of 65 are online all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, most people aren't doing anything. They don't care if you're looking at fucking porn or whatever it is. They're looking for specific things. I really truly believe that this needs to happen. You know, it's I don't care about them knowing. I care about them doing something about it if you're not doing what they're looking for.
Aren't there other ways, though, to flag people? I mean, I know after for like a few months after the whole NSA PRISM thing, when we started learning that, you know, the big tech companies were turning over emails and offering up back doors, allegedly, and everything so that the government could get in and be reading everything and looking at our phone records, that I made sure to include words like ricin and bombing and everything in even the most innocuous emails I sent to my mother, because it was kind of like, screw you, if this is what you're looking for, you know. But how many people do just weird stuff like that anyway? And then you get flagged, and the government shouldn't be looking at me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not going to do anything wrong.
Well, once they find out you're not doing anything wrong, then you're probably ignored and moved on from.
But you also know how government bureaucracy works and how slowly it works. And if you do get mistakenly flagged and you can't tell me people haven't been mistakenly flagged, then how long that they're quick to snag you, but how long does it take them to get you off that list? And what kind of damage has been done to your credit, to your, you know, employability, because everything is like kept in records now and all that.
Nothing to your credit, nothing to your employability, just flying. I had a friend of mine, you know, who has a very standard name, got put on a no-fly list. Took him a year to get off of it.
And he probably had, again, he was put on something that was wrong that, you know, he didn't do. But I bet you then he had to put in the time and effort if he ever wanted to fly again and put in a year's worth of effort to get his name off the list.
Yes.
And what a pain in the ass.
It is a pain in the ass, but you're talking about a micro circumstance. For the greater good. I mean, you're talking billions of people around the world that we now have to keep track of because there's a bunch of scumbag, douchebag fuckheads out there that want to do our country in. You know, it's a minor. I don't care if some guy got inconvenienced from his, you know, little Canton, Ohio business trip because, you know, we got to find out if he's fucking bad or not.
So if you got stuck on a no-fly list erroneously and it took you a year of constant phone calls and paperwork and sending emails to people who obviously don't give a shit and wish you'd leave them alone, are you going to feel differently or will you still be saying, wow, I feel so safe. I'm glad they did this to me.
There would be a reasonable part of me that understands. Yeah, will I be pissed off? Sure. But when something like the 93 World Trade Center or some ISIS group that's got thwarted in Minneapolis or something that's going to do us harm gets found out about through those very ways, it's going to be hard for me to feel bad about it.
Well, there have been stories. They say, you know, like with Snapchat and Skype and stuff, they do random snapshots of any videos and stuff like that that's being sent.
Yeah.
So because there's a lot of porn being done, the one-on-one cam shows and that kind of stuff, or even a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, who haven't seen each other in a while, they live far away, you know, she's showing her tits to him because they miss each other. There is a chance that snapshot of her tits are going to be sent. And they have said people have seen government employees passing these pictures around. When they happen across an anonymous pair of, like, awesome tits, they're showing it to other people around their cubicle.
So what?
Do you want government officials looking at Sam's boobs?
If Sam's stupid enough to put her boobs out there, she has to expect somebody may look at it. That's why I have talks with her, you know, and say, hey, your shit's out there. So be careful what you do with your shit.
So you have never shown your penis?
No, I haven't.
Never.
Never.
Do you know anyone who has?
No, I've never really had those conversations with anybody.
Well, I bet you do. I'm just going to go out on a limb. And there is a possibility that someone you know's penis could be tacked on a wall somewhere at NSA HQ. Just saying.
So what? Who gives a shit? Once again, you did it. You put yourself in that position. You did it yourself, yo. You know, so
not if you are doing a one-on-one Skype, I guess, if it's with someone you trust. Now, it's different. If you're getting paid to do show your tits on cam, that's one thing. And you can assume that that person's probably recording it or something. But if it is you and Lisa, you haven't seen each other for a while, and she slips a boob out on Skype because you two are feeling frisky, and it's just the two of you. There's no one else in your respective rooms or anything. Do you still feel that you are entitled to some form of privacy because you're having a sweet moment with each other instead of having the government catching snapshots of that?
No, I mean, she and I have had those conversations, and her feeling about, you know, because she, you know, has sent me stuff, is like, whatever. What I've put out there, I'm prepared for people to see if it gets in the wrong hands, you know?
Right. I understand that. You know, I do. You know, it's just...
In other words, she hasn't... The way she put it was, I'm not.
She's proud of her boobies.
I'm not giving you. I'm not giving you anything that if it ended up on a site or something that it would devastate me.
Right.
So even she is exercising caution, you know, that's acceptable to her as to something that may find its way out there.
And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but not everybody has probably given that thought. You know, especially teens, and I feel so old saying teens. You know, you've got the girl who's with her boyfriend for 3 years and he's away for the summer and she shows a tit, but she hasn't really been, I don't know.
Listen, I've told Samantha, I said, your social media is your new social blueprint report card. Be careful what you put on it. Be very scrutinous what you put on it, because it will come back in an employment situation or a social situation to bite you on the ass if you put the wrong stuff on it.
Very true.
I said, and now
that
look
is
at
something
me
and, that people
now
should
look
be
at
telling
me and
their
nod
kids.
Your head and you understand. Okay, so when, you know, you come to me crying that somebody reposted something of yours that you didn't want, that you knew the risks.
Agreed. It makes me cringe those rare times when I see like a friend, and this is another reason why I got off Facebook, friends' kids who I know are under 18, and there's the girls in their little bikinis, which I have no issue with, fine, wear it, don't care. But they're on, they've taken pictures and you know they're trying to be sexy. They aren't thinking it all the way through, and their parents, for whatever reason, are okay with their underage daughter putting the barely their bikini pics online.
Yeah,
it just,
I mean,
makes me cringe.
I mean, the wife and I had a discussion, you know, very early on about keeping Samantha off our social media.
Right.
And when she has been on my social media, it's usually riding the horse or, you know, we're out eating somewhere or something like that. You know, no bikini at the lake shots or that kind
yes.
of stuff. It's yeah. I mean, there's no upside to that. You know, I understand there's a whole privacy issue and you should be able to do what you want. And you know what? You can do what you want, but you got to realize other people are doing what they want and reposting you.
And the NSA is taking pictures and posting it to their friends because they think you've got a hot ass.
Who cares? If it's not the NSA, it'll be somebody else. You know, the NSA employs some pervs just like everybody else does.
Yes, but most other pervs don't necessarily have access to your private pictures that you had uploaded to, before the whole Jennifer Lawrence celebrity scandal thing. You know, people were posting things to the cloud because they thought they had some semblance of privacy. And yes, it was stupid. But again, I just think people are entitled to some privacy, and it is all being taken away. And it's just saying people are okay saying, well, you should have known better, like you're blaming the victim. But again, where is the privacy?
You're not going to
see what I'm saying.
You're not going to sway me on this. You know, even putting things up on a cloud, you should be smart enough to know the cloud can be infiltrated and hacked. And, you know, if you're putting stuff up there to stay, then you're an idiot.
I agree. And if I had a child, I would be Nazi-esque with the whole social media thing, you know,
see,
demanding passwords so that I could log on and see what they're doing at any time until they're 18.
See,
you know?
I'm not Nazi-esque. I'm making it completely her responsibility and telling her exactly what can happen to her and the ramifications of putting stuff up there that is risque.
Right.
She gets it. I don't, my daughter in particular, I don't have, you know, she doesn't have a whore gene. You know, she's just not built like that. Some of her friends, you know, that's a different story.
I understand.
You know, so you're kind of talking to the wrong guy about it. If I had a daughter that, you know, had that dire need of attention to put that stuff up there all the time, then I would probably be asking for passwords and checking it out too for her own protection. But even on her 18th birthday, when she becomes legal, I can't protect her anymore. She is free to do whatever she wants. And right. And so I would rather just educate her and say, hey, if you want the best jobs with the best companies, don't portray yourself as an idiot.
I have a friend. This is a terrible story.
Why are you laughing then?
Well, because it's uncomfortable and it's very anonymous. This person was visiting a porn site and had that horrifying moment when he realized the live cam that he was watching was a close friend of his daughter and her husband. Like a girl that he had known since she was little. It happened. It really happened.
Oh, God. Watching them how?
Doing it.
I know, but fucking. In what forum?
On cam. They were doing it like on a public cam.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, these people were adults. They were of age. It was all legal and everything. Yeah. And, you know, you think, what are the odds? What are the odds of going to a national cam site? Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like the local, you know, Poughkeepsie, you know, live girl type thing. It was a big site. And there she was. Getting violated in every way possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, it happens. So, anyway, Stacy, here's where we sit. You're horrified by all this. It's standard fare to me. This goes back into the 40s and 50s, as far as I'm concerned, the J. Edgar Hoovers and everything else. Yes. And here we are 60, 70 years later, still standing. So, you know, it's fine.
I hope so.
If you're
you need to be aware of it.
Yeah.
I guess is all I'm saying is, you know, you have to give thoughts and you have to stop and wonder at what point are you personally, each individual, going to put their foot down and say, you know, I officially don't like this anymore. That's all.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen. Because somebody's going to go, well, maybe you officially like ISIS being next door to you then.
But there's always going to be, you know, I mean, it was the Pinkos in the 80s. It was the commies and McCarthyism and all that in the 50s. In the 40s, it was the Germans, the Krauts and the Japanese, you know. It will always be someone. Someone is always the bad guy. 10 years ago, it was Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi. They obviously are not around anymore. We got them. So now we have ISIS. There always has to be a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, had we not knocked off Hussein, there probably wouldn't be an ISIS.
Exactly.
So.
And he was easily contained.
Yes. Yeah, that was a stupid move. Anyway, we are done for today.
Yes.
Great podcast, great subject matter. It took up all of our time, but it was well worth it because it's fun to watch you amp over this stuff. And
button pusher.
No, you pushed your own buttons on this one. That's the beautiful part. I just was telling you what I think. But I know this is the stuff that sends you sideways, so there you have it. Wanna thank all of our new listeners here on the Threesome Podcast. We appreciate you very much. We're putting out 3 podcasts a week, so there'll be another one coming very soon, and that one will be number 47. Wow. Woo-hoo. Heading towards our 50th episode, man.
I know. Are we going to have a party, Lex?
No. No, we're just going to do it.
Fuck y'all.
Yeah. We probably should have a party on 52, which is a year. So that yes. would That would be probably the time to think about it. But either way, we're out of here. We'll see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Bye.
Bye.